happy Father's Day tomorrow to all the dads, the future dads, and everyone else. If you're looking for a message about fathers and fatherhood and Father's Day, this isn't it. That was not where this was headed. I thought about it, but you go where you're led, and that will have more meaning here in just a second, and you talk on the topics you talk on for who knows whatever reasons. So this message got started probably about 8 weeks ago tomorrow. Our family dove into an unplanned adventure, and I had a lot of learning to do. Learning that I thought I was pretty good at, but like everything else in life, you find out, no, you really didn't know anything. And I had to suddenly do a crash course on how to train a dog. And not just how to train a dog that's kind of really compliant and already fundamentally trained. How to train a strong-willed dog. So I did like anyone would, and I went out to YouTube, because YouTube really is pretty amazing. It's the it's got a lot of garbage on it, but it's got vast sums of human knowledge. And I found, after wading through I don't know how many hours of dog training videos, that there were three fundamental approaches to training dogs. And you're probably like, where is he going with this? Yeah. So two of the training methods, I would argue, just categorically are not good. And the people that advocate for the third, which we'll explain here, will tell you why the first two aren't good. But what struck me in going through these videos, and I could not overcome, and it's what led to this message, is if you look at the analogy of proper dog training, it is amazingly in parallel, amazingly good metaphor for how God trains us, how he works with us. As the perfect trainer, he trains us across our entire lives. And when you go about dog training the proper way, I say proper, not because I know, but I watched the results and I saw people and I looked in the Bible, you find phenomenal parallels. So first I want to go through the two versions, or the two methods of dog training, and I apologize if there's more than three, but these are the ones that jumped out at me. The three versions are, and I'm going to just use my own terminology, the first version is kind of the Machiavellian power control version. That says you need to dominate that animal, you need to control that animal, and then the animal will respect you. You are the alpha, you are in charge, and it needs to listen to you. I say Machiavellian, and I thought that was obvious, but in talking with some people, they weren't aware of Machiavelli was, so just a little bit of a TED talk up here. Machiavelli was an Italian that lived in the 1500s, and he wrote this wonderful book, wrote a bunch of books, but one of the books he wrote was called The Prince. And in it, he was talking about how power and politics works and those sorts of things. And the key takeaway that everybody gets from Machiavelli, whether it's fair or not, is that the ends justify the means. So as long as you get the outcome that you're looking for, how you get there is not the important piece. So the evils and the atrocities that people commit in a war so that they can get to the other end and beat the bad guys are okay. I don't need to tell you here that spiritually that's not the way God teaches, right? But there are people that teach you just control the dog. You show more power than the dog, and you win. Interestingly, you don't need to turn there, but I will say, and this comes from our goat life, I had more appreciation for goats and sheep after we got goats. Over in Matthew 25:32, I'll just read it for you. You don't need to turn there. Matthew 25:32. Christ says, all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. So he's making a distinction. And in verse 41, he says, then he will say to those on his left, and you know the scripture, it's where he says, insomuch as you did this to one of the least of my children, you did it to me. Right? So he turns to the sheep and he says, you were kind to them. You were kind to me. And they said, when did we ever see you? And he said, when you took care of the least of my children. Good job, sheep. And then he turns to the goats on his left and he says to those on his left, depart from me. You were cursed into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. This isn't a lecture about goats, but it is to point out that with goats, you have to dominate them, especially the males. There's no apologies for it. There's no training of goats. You simply dominate a goat. You put it in its place. There's ways to do that, and you move on. So there's a time and a place for it, but that's the extreme. So the second method of training that's out there is the reward-centric method. So that's where you give a treat for good behavior. Good job, you did the thing, here's a treat. Good job, you did the other thing, here's a treat. And there's never a punishment, there's never any consequences to bad behavior or poor choices, right? And you just give treats. The problem with that method, and I would argue that you can see the results of it if we look around us, is it leads to a false sense of entitlement, right? You see it with young children. If all they ever get is praise, well then where's my praise? I deserve more. I had all this, I should have more, right? And it leads to a point where the individual is satiated, or the dog, and it requires more rewards to keep getting the good behavior out of them. So you can't go down that route. So the third method, and this is the one I want to talk about, because it's very apropos to us spiritually, is that of building the right relationship, and I'm going to unpack that phrase, with the dog. I don't know the technical term for it. We're going to watch a video here in a second, not yet, where you will see an individual starting to build the right relationship with a dog, so you can see what I'm talking about. Now, when we watch this video, what I want you to look at is it's going to be a trainer that's training a dog how to go on a walk. Right? Sounds simple. The dog is a metaphor for us in life, right? And I want you to watch the dog and think about the dog as yourself and your relationship in the world and to God. The dog trainer is the metaphor for God, the one that's in control, that is teaching us, that is training us how to behave in a certain situation. And then I want you to view the outside, which is where the dog wants to go, as the temptations that come up in life. We all have our different temptations, right? We're all wired differently, but we all have things that excite us, that pull us in a direction that we shouldn't go. So if you'll cue up the video, please, hit play. I want you to watch from those three standpoints. It takes about 3 minutes.
I am Instructor Carol. This is Freya. And it's like a meeting for help. Freya has a problem. Freya's a puller. I'm a can dog, so we talk about taking your dog for a walk and teaching your dog how to walk are two different things. And it all starts before we take the first step. We're going to head inside and look how it's done. Now, Freya's pretty excited to go out, and that's pretty common. Does your dog just want to explode out that door? Because going outside is fun. So if I open that door, you can see she's ready to blast. So I'm going to hold that leash so that she can't actually get out until she looks at me. And why do I care about that? She is so focused on the outside. Nothing else exists about getting through that door. If I just hold her here, it's like a magic force field. At some point, she's going to stare out there, and then she's going to go, "What the heck?" And she's going to look at me. And when she looks at me, I'm going to immediately say, "Okay." So it's doing a couple of things. One, in order for her to look at me, she needs to control herself, which means she's not as wild. And two, she's learning there's some rules to going through that door. Are you ready, girly? What's out in the big? I'm gonna hold her. Just gonna stand and wait till she decides. Good girl. All right. Good girly. So last time I said okay, and she got to go out just for looking at me. So that's great. She's a little calmer when she does that, and she's starting to learn. Don't just blast out. You need to look. And that will happen really, really fast. I need to do it again, but she also needs to learn after the look when I say all right, it doesn't mean dive bomb out and drag me out. So if that happens, all it means is I'm going to come back in. She didn't earn her win. She didn't get to win the game and go out, go directly to jail, back inside, do not pass go, do not collect $200. We just try it again. Just have to wait it out. They all look at some point.
Waiting is hard.
Outside like that. I'm just gonna come back in. And she says, "Oh, that didn't get me outside." The dogs are smart at figuring out how to get what they want. So now I'm just gonna open that door again.
All right. Oh, I don't think so. I don't think so. It's a good try. So I'm not getting mad. I'm not getting angry. I'm just going to let her figure out how to earn that. You can see she looked at me a little quicker that time, too. Shall we try it again? Oh, yes. All right. Oh, a little bit of pulling. A little bit of pulling. Let's try that again. That was much better. Much better. We're going to try that again. Notice how fast she looked at me. She didn't even try to get out. She stopped and she looked at me very quickly, and she went out much calmer that time. You can see she's still excited about going out. Last time, she didn't blast out.
Okay, that's it. The video goes on for about 15 minutes. Anybody that wants to see it, I can send it to you. It goes, she takes the dog out, and the dog has changed from being a puller, I just get to go wherever I want, however I want, to one that starts looking to her for cues. And it doesn't happen instantaneously. But little by little, what she does is she teaches the dog, I am the one you focus on. I'm the one that decides where we go, when do we stop. And just because something's tempting over there doesn't mean you run off and go get it. You look to me, and I'll give you treats. I'll give you rewards through the process. So, again, I want you to think about this as we go through these scriptures, and think about it from the standpoint of we are like those dogs, that dog that starts out excited, tempted by everything, right? And God is the perfect trainer that knows exactly how much leash, when to give it to us, what to direct us to. So in the beginning, the first step with a dog that hasn't met is restraint. You saw that the trainer was doing that. That the leash was held back until the dog decided to look at the trainer. In our case, the leash is very tight, the leash is very short, until we acknowledge that we should be looking to God. It's not our choice when we go through the door. It's not our choice where we go, but we should be looking to God. Now, how does that feel? If you think of yourself as the dog, the way it manifests in our lives, trials, things break down, relationships that don't work. We can't make it to that goal that we want, no matter how hard we try. You might feel like you're blocked in life. You might feel like you're being unfairly punished, right? You're not getting the thing that you want. Now, what's interesting, turn over to Ecclesiastes 8:11. This is a scripture that, again, in our day and age, in our society, we could not read too often. In Ecclesiastes 8:11, it describes this time of training with a short leash and how it's important to have a very short leash. Ecclesiastes 8:11 says, "When the sentence for a crime is not quickly carried out, people's hearts are filled with schemes to do wrong." I'd always heard that if the punishment isn't swift, then we humans set our hearts to doing evil, right? You'll notice with the trainer, the instant that the dog stopped looking at her, was given the forward command, and then leapt forward to go out the door, she's like, nope, that's not the right choice. I understand it, but that's not the right choice. It had to be instantaneous. If she had sat down and reviewed the day's behavior with the dog 8 hours later, there would not have been any learning. It had to be quick. It had to be decisive. It had to be clear, right? In the beginning. Now, what is God looking for in that first stage? He's looking for submission. The trainer is looking for submission. Are you going to listen to me, or are you going to do the thing that you want to do? Right? We have no problem wanting to do things. We have a problem submitting to God. Turn to Proverbs 1:7. Puts this verse in new context. We've heard it a million times. I know it's a memory verse. But I think it applies wonderfully when we're looking at it from a dog training standpoint. Proverbs 1:7, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." So, the beginning of that relationship, the beginning of a good thing between that trainer and that dog was, oh, not terror, but I need to listen to the person holding the leash. In our case, we need to rightly focus on God. That submission, because we fear disobeying, and eventually we fear disappointing, is what he's talking about here. And you can almost hear the description of the dog that hasn't been trained. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. They resent that leash. They bite at it. They say, I don't want to listen to that. Why would I do that? And God's saying, no, If you want to be in the right place, you have to focus on me. You have to submit. That's the first thing. Now, he tells us, let's turn over to Isaiah 66 as well. This one's a good one. They're all good, but you know, some are just better than others in certain moments. Isaiah 66, verse 1. This is what the Lord says. God's establishing his authority. With that leash, that trainer is establishing their authority. You may want to go outside. That's not what's going to happen. I'm in control here. This is how this is going to play out. It's not an option. But God tells us what it is he's looking for in the relationship he's developing with us. This is what the Lord says, Isaiah 66, verse 1. Heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. This is all mine. Where is the house you will build for me? Where will my resting place be? Has not my hand made all these things? And so they came into being, declares the Lord. But look what he says, what he's telling us as he's training us, starting to train us. These are the ones I will look on with favor, those who are humble and contrite in spirit and who tremble at my word. And then he says, but whoever sacrifices a bull is like one who kills a person, and whoever offers a lamb is like one who breaks a dog's neck. Whoever makes a grain offering is like one who presents pig's blood, and whoever burns memorial incense is like one who worships an idol. And now he describes the dog that's pulling, that's not ready. They have chosen their own ways, and they delight in their abominations. Again, he's saying, you have a choice. We see it throughout the Bible. I will look to those that have a contrite, submissive spirit. These are the ones that I can work with. These are the ones that catch my attention. These are the ones that I want to fulfill our relationship with. And in comparison, they have chosen their own ways and they delight in their abominations. That's the dog that says, yeah, I don't care what you want. I'm going over there. I want to chase that squirrel, right? Again, he's saying, you have that choice. Now, it's interesting when you put it in this context, God created an awe-inspiring universe so that we could see who is in charge. God reminds us if we stand still, she said you have to kind of calm down, you have to look around, and you have to pay attention. We see who holds the leash in this universe. You don't have to turn there, but I'll read it to you briefly in Romans 1, verse 20. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, who he is, his relationship to us, have been clearly seen, being understood from that which has been made, so that people are without excuse. You can't look around at the universe and go, well, if you're being honest, it just winked into existence. There's nobody in charge. I can do whatever I want. People try that, of course, and Satan encourages it, but that's not fair. And again, it goes back to that same analogy of the dog. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him, they weren't focused on him as God, nor gave thanks to him. They did not appreciate the role that he was doing. But their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Now, there's one other thing that happens in this first step. And that, in line with this, God lets us know that he's much greater than anything we can imagine. One of the things I struggle with as a person, because I like to control the outcomes, is I go, yeah, God, you probably have a great plan, but there's that thing I want to do, and I've really worked it out, and it's amazing. If you would just kind of listen to it, I'm sure you would come around and agree with me, right? And what does God throw out in Isaiah 55, verse 8? We're over in 66, so let's bounce back to 55. Isaiah 55, verse 8. Again, one of those memory verses that we hear all the time. But think about it from a trainer, if they could somehow talk to that dog. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. The trainer is trying to teach the dog, you don't like the control, you don't like the boundaries that I'm setting up, but I have a plan. I have a plan that means you can walk by my side. I have a plan that means when I call your name, you will come to me. You won't run off into danger. You won't run into the street. You won't do things that you, at this point in your life, cannot comprehend. But if we enter into a right relationship, it will be good for you. But you can't see that yet because all you see is a doorway and a squirrel beyond, or you smell something out there, or you're blinded by your way of viewing the world, and I've got a much broader picture than you can ever imagine. That's what God's telling us here. He's saying, I'm training you for something much bigger. My ideas are beyond your comprehension. Now, step two, and we didn't have time to go into it, but once the dog successfully looks to the trainer and goes out the door when allowed, the next thing that the trainer works on is not keeping the dog directly by their side, because there's no value in that. It's in letting the dog operate at an appropriate distance, but with a loose leash, right? Not running off helter-skelter, but always looking back to the trainer to see, oh, we're going this way? Oh, okay, good. And then there's a radius that they can run around. But then when the trainer decides to turn left, the dog's like, oh, we're going that way? Okay, we're going that way. Because it's been trained to look initially to the trainer. Now, how does that feel for us? As Christians, we start to mature, and God gives us a little bit more leash, right? He doesn't instantly pull us back. He doesn't turn on that force field to keep us from the very basic mistakes. Turn over to Galatians 5. We'll see a description of what that loose leash looks like. Galatians 5 and verse 24. We're going to come back to Galatians 5:22 later on because they're all interconnected. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So they've stopped being driven by their temptations. And they've said, okay, I'm going to listen to God. I'm going to submit to his training. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. God's Spirit becomes that leash to us. Again, not from a control Machiavellian standpoint, but from a, oh, right, I shouldn't be going down that path. Oh, your will is more to the left or to the right. Right? It becomes that relationship that gently nudges and directs us. So since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. And there's another interesting related, again, I won't turn there, but Romans 14:23. This goes a little bit deeper, but it gets back to what is that relationship with God and what does that loose leash look like for us? But whoever has doubts is condemned if they eat, talking about meat offered to idols, because their eating is not from faith. And everything that does not come from faith is sin. Again, it's part of that relationship that God's giving us with that leash, right? The dog can go so far as long as the leash is loose. That is so hard to say. I don't know why. But once the dog hits the limit of what the trainer has said you can go, that's it. You can't go beyond it. And the reason the trainer knew to pull the dog back was because it was pulling on the leash. You're pulling on the leash. That's not appropriate. If you've got something that you're wrestling with, we have debates about this all the time at home, where you're not sure and you can't turn to a verse that says specifically you're allowed to do that thing or you're not allowed to do that thing, I always come back to this and say, well, whatsoever is not of faith is a sin. What is your gut telling you? And if your gut's telling you, that's probably not right, listen to that, right? You're starting to get to the edge of the leash. I can't say that word. You got to pull it back, the cord. Maybe I'll say cord. So what God is looking for as he trains us then is he's looking for that focus and obedience, right? Because at the end of the day, Freya the dog was looking to the trainer to go, I'm just going to wait here until you tell me it's okay to go out that door. I really want to go out the door. You know I want to go out the door, but I'm going to wait here until you tell me. That focus and that obedience is the magic combination that they're looking for. This is probably my favorite Bible verse across all of them. There's a handful of them. But Proverbs 3, verse 5 through 7. Again, another memory verse. Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. To translate that into dog speak, look to the trainer and don't pull on the leash. If the trainer's giving you the leash that you can run around, that's fine, but you don't pull on the leash in your own direction. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. So it's a promise here, not, as I interpreted it when I was younger, that if you just pray about everything, God will give you all the answers to the test. That's not what he's saying. But what he's saying is if you have that proper focus, if you have that proper obedience and submission, then he will make sure the space that you're allowed to go out on leash is what's right for you. We get back to that in Romans 8:28, right? I promise that where I'm taking you is safe. The dog park you're going to may be exciting, it may be scary, it may be hard, but it's okay because you've acknowledged me, you followed me. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Don't pull on the leash. You don't know where we're going. Fear the Lord and shun evil. Again, back to dog speak. Focus on God and resist the temptations that are out there. It's interesting. Again, I won't turn there because it's so good. You can look at the life of David. I think David was a fantastic person. Maybe this is partly why God said he was a man after his own heart. You look at the Psalms and the songs and the verses that David wrote, you can see a relationship that he had with God that really was, he wanted to please God. He wanted to be right with God. He wanted to be on a loose leash with God. He says in Psalm 86:11, "Teach me your way, Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name." Again, I want to hear you when you call. I want to be right by your side. I don't want a heart that's causing me to go after these temptations. I want to be in that right relationship with you. At the end of it, what God's really looking for, this is no surprise, he wants to be in a good relationship with us. Just like that trainer, it wasn't about spending the half hour or whatever it took to teach that dog how to go for a walk. What the trainer really wanted was to go on a walk with that dog and know that the dog would be there and wouldn't get into trouble and would obey commands and that they could be in a right relationship with each other. I'm debating which of the two verses best covers it, right? Turn to John 10, verse 24. John 10, verse 24. Again, Christ goes back to referring to sheep, but in this case, sheep represent a dog that is well-trained. Goats represent a dog that is pulling and is not well-trained. John 10, verse 24 says, "The Jews who were there gathered around him saying, 'How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly,'" which is a pretty funny statement if you've read the rest of the books. "Jesus answered, 'I did tell you, but you did not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me.'" Here's the important part, verse 26 and 27. "But you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them. They follow me." He's saying my sheep are in a relationship with me. I don't even have to walk with a leash because the really well-aligned sheep just want to be by my side. They want to know what my will is. They want to know where we're going. You look at that dog, I think it was in the video at the very beginning, where it's pulling on the leash and it's straining. The dog did not have a relationship with the trainer. The dog wanted something at the other end and could have cared less about the trainer. By the end of the training, the dog had a relationship with the trainer. It knew that the trainer is the one that set the destination. It knew that the trainer was the one that was taking care of it, was watching over it, was protecting it. Now, why is this so hard for us? Well, no surprise. The simple answer is Satan. He lies to us. At the very beginning of his interaction with humanity in the Garden of Eden, what did he tell Adam and Eve? Again, I'll translate it back into dog leash speak. He said, "Oh, God doesn't want you to eat that fruit because if you do, then you'll become like him. You'll be able to discern good and evil." What is he saying? Oh, God doesn't want you to eat that fruit because, well, he was tricking them into saying, if you eat that fruit, you won't need a leash. You can do whatever you want. You don't need God to tell you things. You'll be just as smart as he will. And back into our carnal nature, that sounds really good. Ask me if I want to be on a leash or ask me if I want to be free running wild, right? Carnally, we want to run wild. But God's going, nah, there's cars, there's other dogs, there's all sorts of dangers for you out there that you cannot comprehend. So Satan came from the beginning trying to go, ah, you don't want a leash. Leashes are bad. And then the next thing is, and this is something that I struggle with personally, society tells us that we need to be in control to be successful. Who are the successful people? The ones that dominate, the CEOs that take power and take control and don't listen to anybody, right? Those are the macho heroes that don't follow rules, that set off on their own directions. That's what you're told from the very beginning growing up in our society. Satan loves that. Are you told that the successful winner is the one that stays by the leader's side, that listens to instructions and is respectful? And even in talking about this, I'm sure some people chafe at it and go, I don't want a leash on me. If you watch that dog when it gets to the right relationship status, that leash isn't even there. Because the leash is always loose. The leash was necessary in the beginning to train the right relationship and the focus with the trainer. The trainer no longer depends on that leash once the dog is properly trained. So that's just an illusion. It's a false illusion. And Satan didn't want it because he wasn't willing to enter into a right relationship with God. So what should we be striving to be look like? I'm going to read one more verse over in Galatians 5, verse 22. Again, you know this. Because I think it perfectly describes the state God is trying to get us into. And if you think about that dog, you saw it towards the end of at the end of the video, and it gets much better. Once the dog had learned the right relationship with the trainer, she even said it. This describes the state the dog was in. Galatians 5:22. And yes, it's the fruits of the Spirit, right? The thing that God is saying, are you growing in these? But the fruit of the Spirit is love. That dog was in a good, loving relationship. The trainer hadn't beat the dog. The trainer hadn't hurt the dog, right? In fact, there wasn't even strictly discipline. It was just withholding bad choices. Love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and the last one she said, self-control. That's the state God wants us in. He's training us over 70-ish years in the perfect dog training manner. We're the dogs, to be fruitful, as we see here in Galatians, but to be at peace, to be in a right relationship, to have self-control and all those things. Not to take away our autonomy, not to take away our independence, because he created all of us so unique and interesting and diverse. He just wants to enter us into a right relationship so that the rest of eternity will work out when we're spirit beings by his side. And if he doesn't hold us back for those first 70 years at the door, we will never be in that relationship. But that little blip of time when he's teaching us with that leash, I get it now. I'm smart enough to figure out what do I have to do to get to the thing I want. Then we can be in an eternal relationship with him where he doesn't need the leash. We're just wonderfully full of these spiritual fruits. So the next time you're chafing, the next time life is throwing you something hard, that something's pulling on you and you're like, I don't like this. Think back to that dog. Have the bigger picture and realize God's working with you on his leash so that you don't ever need that leash again. We just have to patiently submit and focus on him for it all to work out.